Oh, Claire, I wasn't made for the outdoors.
Well,
here you find us.
How we end this podcast, I am uncertain, because right now we are precariously is the word, balanced on a hammock at the end of my garden.
A branch just broke as I sat down. Imagine us. What would have happened if we hadn't have found Snowy Walton's out on there? I'm literally in fear, guys. I'm holding on. I'm like a statue. I'm so still. I'm going to be really quiet this podcast because I'm fearful of my life. Why can't we just go to a spa or a really nice glamorous place? Why am I on a hammock that clearly is about to break and I'm about to get pooed on by a bear?
I mean, I was on this hammock 2 days ago and it was much higher. It's obviously dropped overnight and then we've both sat in it and we're may as well just sit on the floor. So, yeah.
Welcome.
There's a disclaimer here that at some point, A, we may fall on the floor
into the pond,
and B, we could get pooed on by a bird at any moment. But in the meantime, we will answer some of your questions and reflect on some of your comments. What more could go wrong?
Nothing. Cue the ukuleles is all I've got to say. Blinking fast.
Yep, it's going. Put your legs down. Anyway, welcome to the Slimming World podcast. We are professionals here.
Yep, we are sponsored by Slimming World. We do not scream
for 60 minutes. Do not fear. We do not recommend sitting on a hammock whilst listening to this podcast.
No, and it's your delightful husband just sat in his office just peering out the window periodically to make sure that we've not broken our necks.
Possibly our neighbours might look over the fence and be wondering if we're okay. But anyway, this is Listener's Questions, July 2021. It is soon to be the Summer of Love, Slimming World is branding it. And I'm Claire, she's Anna, and we are officially sponsored by Slimming World, which means that whilst we're not healthcare professionals or serious, knowledgeable people, we do consult with the people that do know a bit more about what they're talking about to make sure we are slightly more on message and informed.
Yes, that everything's correct.
There's probably a way more sexy way for us to say that. But anyway,
we're just concentrating on staying alive right now, aren't we, Claire?
Yep. I mean, I've spent a lot of time precariously balancing on a hammock, and this is definitely the scariest I've ever seen it.
Yes, okay.
we have so many comments and questions and things to talk about. At the top of the list, actually, is mini cucumbers, which we'll come on to in one moment.
They're a game changer.
Leopard print obsession continues. We've got shares around struggling with motivation, about finding your why and getting enough sleep. We've got some lunch ideas and barbecue ideas. And we've got an amazing email to read from Mary, who tells us that she's learned an important lesson on why she'll never let her weight get in the way of her life ever again.
Love this.
So, mini cucumbers, right? Do you want to recap, in case people haven't listened to the previous episode, whenever it was, about mini cucumbers?
I see, I talk about them so much. Mini cucumbers, they're not just like a cucumber. They are miniature, which always helps, but they're tastier. They're
sweeter. Hang on, wait. Mini cucumbers aren't just like a cucumber. They're miniature. Is that your opening statement of how to sell a mini cucumber?
So a mini cucumber is a powerhouse because it comes in a small package. You feel like you can just grab one and have a little go. It tastes so much better than a normal... If you're not a cucumber fan...
Well, because it's smaller, you just get it out the way.
No. They're sweeter, they're crunchier, they're a little bit more tangy. Like, they're good.
She was giving all the hand signals. She had her eyes closed then. You know, like when you're really like an Italian chef, passionate about pasta. Anna did that with mini cucumbers, sat on a hammock.
But mini cucumbers, I think they're easy to grab, so they love a little hit of speed. And I just put them with everything. Ask my members. I frequently post on our WhatsApp group and Facebook group about my love of miniature cucumbers. Anything miniature, I just find is more fun.
Wow, okay. So, and they are speed-free food as well.
They are, I mean, but they're so good. Like, when I want crisps, I get some garlic salt, cut them in half, like a packet of crisps.
a caterpillar just landed in my face. Well, see, Jacqueline agrees with you. She listened to the podcast where you mentioned them the other week, and she said, I'm actually not a fan of the cucumber. I make myself eat them, which is never a great sentiment, Jacqueline. But she has discovered the mini cucumbers and eats them instead now because they are much more tasty than ordinary cucumber and great as a snack. Easy to get the extra speed in.
Jacqueline, I'm with your sister.
Leopard print.
Cucumbers.
Leopard print cucumbers. I think that might be genetically modified.
Yeah, just slightly.
Be careful about that. Yeah. Breeder sent us a pic of her bright pink leopard print shorts.
Nice.
I had
a lady come visit me from Essex who turned up in her leopard print socks just to show a little bit of appreciation at the scales.
Well, I mean, we often share, if you're new to the podcast, our obsession about just seemingly buying things of leopard print without even realising. It's like an addiction that you don't even know is there sometimes.
But we've really made it massive, haven't we?
No, we've owned it.
We've owned it and some.
Yes. So Karen and her consultant turn up to group in pretty much identical outfits.
Love that.
Both had a leopard print dress with black cardigans.
I mean, it's got to be done, isn't it?
Standard.
That's a standard Slimming World get-up in my life.
That is like, that should be uniform.
Yes. No Slimming World t-shirts, just leopard print. Did you hear that, Margaret? Just leopard print.
So if you have any photos of moments that you wish to share with us, you can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, and we're on Instagram @slimmingworldpodcast. So just reflecting on some of the episodes we've done the last few weeks, people sending comments on this. So we've talked about pasta. We did a journal, 5 questions to kind of do a reality check for the year so far. We myth-busted body magic with a quiz. And we've also talked about options if you want to look at dairy-free ways of using the plan. So like the calorie counting episode from last month, we are still getting comments about this. We kind of had a panel, didn't we, of a scientist and a dietitian, and we kind of said, what is the deal with calorie counting? Sometimes people think it's like calorie counting versus Slimming World, but it was just like a let's just really talk about what this is and what calories are, why we need them and what they're about, and still getting so much love about this, aren't we?
I think it gave so many people like a sense of calm around food optimizing and calorie counting, because I think there was so much kind of misinformation on social media, wasn't there? So loads of people saying they loved it.
Yeah, like Claire says here, love the analogy of learning to drive. You know, about as you kind of follow the plan. What, there's pigeons. Oh, no. As you learn to drive, you know, at first it feels really clunky, doesn't it? First gear, clutch, second gear, clutch, third gear,
clutch.
Exactly. But then after a while it just becomes natural, and so Claire loved the analogy that the scientist pointed out, being at Target for 2.5 years and finally feeling as though I've got those good eating habits, got to keep going to group those, that's the thing that keeps me on track. Megan here wanted to thank us for the calorie podcast. It's really helping us stay focused when not in group, and the podcast is also making a commute to work much more enjoyable. Listen to that episode on the way home from work and found it really helpful. Constantly in a battle with myself when it comes to calorie counting. I've had personal trainers in the past that have kind of forced me to do it, even when I haven't wanted to, because it's their method of weight loss. A lot of my friends have also tried to make me do it because it is the best way. So just wanted to say thank you. It gave me a lot of clarity in what I want and what is best for me regarding my own journey. No one should tell me how to do my journey. I'm 3 stone down.
Wow.
Got some more to lose, but I'm feeling good. Thank you for the content you provide. And and that's the point, isn't it? Because we're quite open that, look, we follow Slimming World. This is the Slimming World podcast. But you've got to find something that works for you, that gives you peace of mind. And you know what? If it is another plan, then so be it. We have people who listen to other popular plans, follow other popular plans, but listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I think it's knowing that it's finding something, whatever it is, that's sustainable for you. But what the Calorie Counting Podcast did for me was reassure me that what we'd chosen to do for us was the very best, which was I really liked. I liked that Victoria was talking about Zaheer's episode where he had his gorgeous daughter. She is destined for the stage, that girl, isn't she? She was saying what a great listen it was, and to his daughter's enthusiasm, and Zaheer himself is so inspiring. The idea of small changes to family favourites, making them even more popular and great with kids, and what a great idea. I think that's what really resonated from the Zaheer episode, wasn't it? How actually it's just a few little changes, and keep making little changes and it will soon stack up.
It was called Making Food Optimizing Work For You, if you want to listen to that one.
Brilliant guy.
The pasta episodes were still getting a load of pasta recipes as well. Jed sent us a message with some ideas, has been trying lots of new things. She also says, I'm new to the podcast. I always thought wrongly that they were for the youngsters. I started at number one. I'm working my way up through them gradually. Can I say thank you? I'm not 100% certain what you have done in my head, but you have helped me flick a switch and be more focused in following the plan. I'm not using anywhere near the amount of sins I was before. I'm hardly using any now, if honest. I'm over 6 stone down in the 2 years, 6 months I've been doing Slimmer World, and of target in sight.
Wow.
There you go.
Love that.
And the reality check as well. You know, reality check, a couple of episodes, we sat on a park bench, which we... you know, rather cruelly stole from two women who appear to own that bench.
Seriously, they will never forgive us
for
that.
I saw them the next day.
Did you?
And I tried to take a photo of them to send to you. They were sat on the bench and they scowled at me so much that I ran away in fear. Anyway, on that
day...
That's
why we're on the hammock.
Yeah, that's why we've got up to the hammock this time. Yeah, safer.
Is it?
Well, we'll find out. Yeah. Anna will sue me by the end of the episode for breaking her back again.
I'm sure I signed something, though, when we started that I can't do that. I'm sure you sorted that out.
Look, Jan and Kat said that they really found the journaling aspect of the reality check episode really helpful. Jan started journaling right from when restarted the journey 27 days ago from this email.
Wow.
Started listening to the podcast at the same time. Already got bronze body magic award. And the journal really helps keep a check on everything. You know, looking at the sins, the exercises, you know, logging all these small body changes, I guess the small wins. She said a small win for her. She doesn't have to steer the car with her stomach anymore. New but dangerous form of hands-free. There is a gap, albeit small, between me and the steering wheel. And I suppose, you know what, that's not something that necessarily you get a certificate for. It's not something the scales show, but you're noticing.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that Kat said, after being stuck for weeks despite max effort, I went into a popular high street store while listening to you guys and bought myself a journal. It feels like a naughty but nice piece of me in my world. Hopefully it will bring me focus and calm.
Ooh.
You love a journal, Claire, don't
you? Oh, I love a stationery shop.
Oh my God, I do.
Some people like to go to pharmacies, don't they, and buy, like, I don't know, a face mask, a new hand cream.
I was wondering where you were going there.
I like to go and buy a nice new pen and a nice journal.
I bought you a leopard print pen, actually, the other day. I've left it at home, but I'm going to send it in the post to you because it's... Oh, no, I'm seeing it again. It's so beautiful. You're going to love it. We've got matching leopard print pens.
Oh, my God! This is amazing.
But it's not a fourer. You know, you like the ones
A four penner.
Yeah.
When you get multiple colours. Yeah. I know. They've got those in gold now, so... Anyway, this is a podcast about late loss.
Late loss.
Oh, dear.
And stationery.
Okay, just going to breathe. Just going to be mindful for a moment. Okay. Just ponder the pigeon on the roof over there and put your feet on the floor. Right, light bulb moments.
I love this one.
Okay.
Can I read it?
Acronyms from EFA, yeah?
Yeah. So I had to double check that's what it said. So I'm so glad you said it was an acronym. Slim and World member on and off, back at group and already down a stone in 2 weeks. That is amazing. Found some acronyms I thought you would like. FAIL stands for first attempt in learning.
Hang on, so FAIL.
F-A-I-L stands for first attempt in learning.
Yeah.
END stands for effort never dies. And NO stands for next opportunity. So relevant to people on a weight loss journey. Thought it'd be good to share. Love that. That's from Aoife in Cork. Thank you. I love the FAIL one.
efforts never die.
Yeah.
No, next opportunity.
I mean, N sounds like it should be a, what's it called, a James Bond film. Efforts never die.
Sorry.
Wow. Shall I move on?
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. Jen here talking about... Well, I mean, there's loads of things here. Started Slimmer World back in November, discovered the podcast at Christmas and basically is binge listen during runs and walks. In January, attempted and succeeded dry January. I went back to drinking and then due to lockdown, I was just drinking more and more. I was actually listening to one of your earlier dry January episodes, followed by the one about Delilah, and realised that my inner chimp predominantly comes out with the wine. That's when the takeaway is ordered or the family-sized pack of crisps are eaten. So I am now 102 days alcohol-free. Wow. I hit Target last week. I ran an ultra marathon, 53.3 miles in June. Wow. And I have 100 miles booked for October. I am happy. I am focused. I am sleeping well. I am running the best I have. So thank you.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't that show, like... You know, that's not a huge amount of time. 102 days. So that's like not even a third of the year. But what a difference Jen has made to her life. And I think sometimes we kind of feel a bit overwhelmed that it's going to take years to do these changes. But actually, small things that we can start doing now. And I think it's always really interesting when you find something that clicks. Like Jen, for me, when I left the alcohol behind and realised... I felt like I had to choose between alcohol and chocolate order for me to get the weight loss I really wanted.
Yeah.
And it was I knew I couldn't live without chocolate.
Really?
Yeah, I still
can't. If you can see her face, she just stopped and paused and you could see she was just thinking about something chocolate. No, but you were. You were just thinking about something chocolatey.
Yeah, I knew it was very, very clear. And once I made that decision, it was like lots of things kind of just clicked into place in a way that they never had before. So, and you know, it doesn't have to be like the alcohol. We know that people, and I have too, I've lost weight whilst drinking.
So have I, yeah.
But it's so fascinating when you find that thing, and that's why I love this little light bulb moment section.
I think the thing I found with alcohol is I couldn't maintain my weight loss and still be a drinker in the way I used to be, because I could lose weight but I couldn't keep it off. But I think it's about finding that thing that's right for you or that thing that needs to change, and it doesn't have to be booze, like you were saying.
And challenging that stigma that, oh, if I quit drinking, I'm going to be boring and I can't go out and I can't go to barbecues and I can't go to parties and I can't socialise. It's actually bull poo.
Yeah.
It genuinely is.
Like... Do you know the thing I used to love most when I stopped drinking was watching other people drink and the things they did. I got far more enjoyment from that than the booze.
Keep so that good. In your journal.
Yes. Right.
Michelle here.
I really love this one.
Started my journey on the 13th of January 2020. I have lost a total of 5 stone so far. I have another 7 stone to go with my next target of 4 stone. This will enable me to get my BMI to a healthier level. I'm a planner and I know I'm goal orientated and I want everything quickly and now. I recognise that.
Who feels like that?
Yeah. I planned that I would lose my weight in a year. Anyway, I didn't. I had a health issue. I had to have a major operation. This then made me feel rubbish and had stopped my exercise for 5 months. I then decided to remove my social media. It was having a really negative impact. And I just felt that people there were showing off. I felt like it really impacted my own perception of my own health. I started to resent that I had not lost the weight that I had pledged. And I even thought about moving away from Slimming World instead of seeing the good. Anyway, light bulb moment, ding! Then I listened to your podcast. You have inspired me. I have decided that I would go back to my why. So, here I am. I have lost 5 stone through a freaking global pandemic. Whoop. I have now drawn a line. I am being kind to myself. I am recovering from my surgery and building up my strength and my fitness. I am going to weigh in. I've also changed my group. My original group didn't quite fit with me, so I've now signed up to a Saturday morning group.
Cool.
Thank you for helping me remember my why. I love Slimming World. I'm going to do this. I will get my target.
Oh, I love her thought process and how much kinder she's being to herself. Isn't that inspiring?
Yeah.
But it goes to show you, go back. Why? Why do I want to do this? Because sometimes when it gets cloudy, you need to go back and reaffirm your want, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Right, so what have we got here? We have got a couple of people, actually,
Damien,
who've been listening, haven't they?
Yeah.
And then they've decided to go back to group, because we know that quite a few people throughout lockdown, for various reasons, had kind of moved away from group.
I always say to my members that weren't around, who took a little break, they had a sabbatical, they've just come back.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? I love this. This is from Damien. He says, can I just say, you two have changed my life. I'm a 36-year-old man from Bangor in Ireland. I'm currently 24 stone and need to lose weight. I've delved into Slimming World previously, approximately 10 years ago. I was 20 stone, lost 3 stone, won the group's man of the year, boom. Then I thought, happy days, and left. I started listening to the podcast on the 1st of June 2021 in the car on the way to work, and I haven't stopped. So I looked for a local group, and Phil Kays, Slimming World's Greatest Loser, is starting a brand new group on Saturdays. And guess who's going? Yep, me. And all because of your podcast. I am only on episode 20, April 2019, and your two's awesomeness has changed my life, and I haven't even got started yet. Thanks, ladies, for all you're doing for everyone, and especially me, which will turn your which in turn will help my wife and daughter. I love you guys. Oh, Damien. Oh.
I wonder when he's like caught up to like present day episodes, when he listens to this one, because I think he sent that message to us over a month ago now, so he's probably up to date by now.
Oh, Damien, please keep us posted on how you get on. And you know what? I just go back to when Claire and I started this at her kitchen table. We just wanted to share like what had happened to us, and the fact that we're helping someone like that so far away that we've never met, and he's doing that just makes being sat on this hammock right now all worth it, Damien. So yeah. Thank you for sharing it.
I think one of the key things that I've always like, there's been a lot of highlighting about NHS workers, hasn't there, in the last year.
Yes,
we've
so
all become
much.
A lot more aware about who our friends or neighbours
yeah.
are who are frontline workers. And Alison dropped us a message. She works as an advanced paramedic with the ambulance service.
Wow, what a job.
And so it's obviously been a pretty horrible experience during the pandemic. Been working 6 days a week, eating terribly, and feels like she's just got heavier and heavier and detesting herself for it. So she joined as an online member in June last year, but hasn't lost a pound, actually put on a stone. So now can only wear leggings, squeeze herself into the uniform, and all the beautiful clothes in the wardrobe are just a horrible reminder of how she feels she's let herself down. It all came to a head a few weeks ago when a colleague made a throwaway comment about the constant dieting and lack of results, and Alison just felt totally broken. Then she discovered the podcast. She's been binge listening ever since, and she absolutely adores us. Mm. She's either laughing hysterically with us or bawling with emotion. We have encouraged her to restart food optimising, listens to us daily, really helps with the tips, and just to know that she's not alone. She lost 7 pounds in the last 2 weeks, is so in the zone with food optimising now. Thank you so much. And then asks, when are we doing an island road trip?
Oh my God, we want to do one, don't we? I love you so much.
But Alison, awesome. You know, I don't think that you're alone in this. You know,
no.
A lot of people had kind of thought that they could kind of cope on their own, and they needed that extra support. And I think it's really interesting because I've been an online member for Slimming World and also a group member.
Yeah.
And the group, the accountability, the love, the community, I think, was what really just helped.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Steve here, he said, I hope you don't mind me emailing you.
Never. We love it.
We can't always reply to everybody, you know, but of course we read them. I just want to say thank you. I stumbled across them on Spotify. I've always been overweight. My appearance really gets me down, but I've joined Slimming World a few times. The last time was about 4 years ago. I lost 5 stone, but unfortunately stopped going to group and put the weight back on and more. I rejoined Slimming World last week. It's great. And the weight is starting to drop. I actually do think you need the group for the whole Slimming World concept to work. But unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond my control, I can't attend a group. So I'm using your weekly podcast as my virtual group. Your podcast 118 with the lorry driver chap was the turning point for me. That's Jason, who was Slimming World Man of the Year last year. Anyway, just wanted to say hi and thanks for your inspiration.
Oh, I love that. And I love the fact that you have cottoned on to the fact that you need some support and you're using this as it, because I think sometimes we're not great at asking for that help and support midweek, are we? So
no.
Well done.
Right, it's time to get Charles's blow tickler out. Sound the blow tickler.
Hello, Charles.
Oh, yes. Right, target achievement celebrations. We love it when you share with us your mini wins, because let's face it, how many of us sometimes have had a rough week and we listen to this and we need to hear that good things are happening yeah, with people on this plan.
People do lose weight.
Yes. So, Eunice, sound the blow tickler. Joined Slimming World on the 23rd of February, got to target losing 2 stone, 13 and a half pounds.
Ooh,
half a pound next week from my 3 stone award. Yes.
Love this.
Totally getting the strange feeling today now I'm at target. Don't know where I should be, not focused on losing weight now, trying not to treat myself too much, but trying to stay the net same. Tricky. Get that.
Listen to this one, Kate. Target, woo, woo, whoop. Got here, finally. Super excited. Thank you, Claire and Anna, for all the support you've given me over the past year. Loving my Monday morning walks with you. Get in, Kate.
And Sammy just got in from a lovely work walk and boom, Platinum Body Magic Award completed. No one home for her to get excited about it, so she messaged us instead.
Oh, I love this.
We're probably way too late. You probably told everybody that you know now.
But here's a belated well done. Alison, so I'm sat in my group as we speak. I'm over the moon. I've just reached a 5 stone loss. I've worked so hard over the past few weeks and just missed out. What a relief it was today to get on the scales and achieve my goal. I still have a way to go, but I'm delighted. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for all your support to us slimmers. Well done.
And Jill is in the magazine.
Get in, Jill.
My God, she sent some pictures too.
Cred.
She said, in her words, not bad for an old bird. She's in a bikini.
Oh, my God.
I mean, she's in the magazine, which is out now. It's a small article right at the back of the issue, but she's delighted. Nearly a year of maintaining a 5 stone, 2.5 pound loss. Can't say it's easy, but the podcast has really helped with sound advice, hints, tips, motivation, knowing I'm not alone, plus a few giggles. Thank you.
And a big shout out to Billy. Today I got my target 4 stone, 7.5 pounds. To say I'm over the moon is an understatement. I've worked hard for this and my life has improved so much. Thank you to Slimming World and all the support I've received from my friends and family.
Brilliant. And Billy, we know you've been listening to the podcast a long time. So target, congratulations.
He's one of our old schoolers, isn't he, Billy?
Yeah. And actually Donna sent us a message just saying, you know, sometimes, you know, people wonder whether target members, do they need to stay to group? Are they valuable? What's your role as a target member? Donna sent us this. She said, I was talking to a friend about going out with my family or meal to celebrate my new career. She was obviously in group, and she was saying that she wasn't sure whether she should just enjoy it or stick to the weight loss journey because she's got 3 pounds away from her first stone. A target member heard the conversation and said to her, what does your heart say? Which is more important? And she kind of thought about it, and Donna replied, my stone. And the target member said, well, there's your answer. Listen to yourself. And Donna says, best advice ever.
I have to say, as a consultant, my target members are my tribe. I pull on them. They are there to inspire. They are so full of ideas and empathy and understanding. So, yeah, targets are the best.
Well, like coming up, we've got things about motivation. We've got things about your mind's catching up with your body. We've got crisps, bread, barbecue, lunch, all on the menu ahead of this listener's questions. So let's kind of start with mindset, you know, questions around this. So Lee's dropped a message and saying, hi, lovely ladies. Not just ladies, but lovely ladies.
Like that, thank you.
I am really struggling at the moment. I am somehow still in target, somehow, according to my scales. My wife and I have been on this current journey for a couple of years now. But since Christmas, my wife has been really struggling. She is the dominant force in our relationship. And I've kind of been going along with it all. The takeaways have now become a regular thing again. And I'm so unhappy and worried I'm going to regain the 6 stone, 10 pounds I've lost. I've been going to the gym 3 days a week and working extra hard as a supermarket delivery driver. I know you can't reply to everyone, but any advice would be lovely. And this is hard, isn't it?
Wow.
You know, when so I've kind of put this under the heading of what to do when your partner or maybe a friend or flatmate isn't on plan, but you want to be.
Do you know, and this is a personal point in my journey that I had, is being really open and honest with your partner, because your beautiful wife may have no idea how you're feeling if you've not overtly communicated that with her. And if you're, my husband would probably say I'm the dominant force in our marriage. You know, if your wife is maybe quite loud and gregarious and you're quite chilled, she might just be thinking you're going with the flow. And I just think sometimes it's really important to say, look, this is how I'm feeling and I'm scared. I need your support. And I think, I don't know if you agree, I would say most people would absolutely get that and really try and help and support you. But also taking ownership of your own journey. Mm. You know, because those of us that live with people, and it could be from partners to mums, dads, to kids, we can't control necessarily all the food that comes in our home. But we do have the ability to make the choice to say no, and we don't have to eat it. And when you take ownership of something like that, I'm not saying it's easy, but it gives the control back to you. So saying, actually, my wife wants a takeaway, but I don't. And therefore, I'm going to go and make myself something that's slim and well friendly. I had a gorgeous member in group a couple of weeks ago. She said her husband wanted an Indian takeaway and she was desperate to stay on plan, but she didn't want to miss out. So she went, she got one of the Iceland curries and she had that with some boiled rice, and they sat together and ate curry together. But she was on the plan and where she wanted to be. So I think twofold, it's about being honest, but also taking control back yourself. What would you think, Claire?
Yeah, and also, like, really celebrate the wins. Like, the fact that, you know, you 6 stone ago wouldn't have gone to the gym 3 weeks. Actually keeping a log, really, of the things that you are doing. And in a couple of weeks, we've got an episode which is really kind of looking at Target Members Toolkit, which I think will be really helpful for you, Lee, because maybe you'll kind of realise you're doing a lot of the right things, and that's why you're staying in Target.
And it may be fear is talking louder than reality. We've all had that, haven't we? The fear of putting the weight on is telling you that it's all gone wonky, when actually, if you think about the majority of the time, you are food optimizing like an absolute pro. So it, maybe it's a balance of all three things, and getting a sense of where you're... Of where you're actually at in reality rather than the fear talking. But I trust me, from what I hear in group, you're not alone in where you're at, because, you know, I often think if we were on a desert island and we had nothing else to distract us, no one, no anything, we could be where we want to be. But the fact is that life gets in the way, doesn't it?
Totally. Yeah, and there will always be temptations, won't there?
Oh, well done. I've just got to move. In the hammock.
Put your legs down. If you put your feet up, you're going to go backwards, you plonker.
My theory is, get your legs up and somehow I'll keep...
I don't know.
No, you're going to go backwards then. Okay. Your feet keep you grounded.
Okay.
Flipping Laura.
Give me a
terrifying
hand signal next time you move it,
Mum,
please.
My hip hurts.
So does mine.
This is the least comfortable podcast we've ever done. I preferred it when we were sat on the floor
in the rain.
Idea, love. Okay, right, we better hurry up then. Steffi talks about sleep, okay? And I think that people with young children, maybe you will be feeling Steffi's pain.
Never felt this.
Let's have a look here. So Steffi basically has had 6 years of interrupted sleep and doesn't begrudge her children. But, you know, just apart from maybe the one that screams blue murder during the day and keeps me awake 2 to 3 hours every night.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But sleep deprivation is the biggest downfall on the weight loss journey for her. A bad night often means that she eats before thinking. She can also eat at night if the youngest is having a rough night, because she becomes hungry because she's awake so long. You know, some tips from people who've been through this would be great. Are there foods that help to give us a quick burst of energy but are on plan? Quick filling foods that aren't expensive but also accommodate a child? I can't be the only parent out there really struggling with this. And even those with insomnia or medical reasons to be sleep deprived surely would benefit. Of course, losing weight will help my sleep. So it's all in a step in the right direction if I can muster the willpower in my half-awake state. I should say, my kids are lovely. I adore being their mum. I'm just a really tired mama who wants to be healthy and able to run around with her kids. Thanks for the moral boost. Some days it really is the one thing that makes the difference. Aww.
I think she's just explained how my life was for 3 years. Some tips that I learnt along the way. Don't know if they'll help, but I had to plan for the night time as much as I had to plan for the day.
Interesting.
So I had to have a really strong plan for food when I was being awoken every 1 hour and 23 minutes. My last meal of the day or my snack before bed was really rich in protein to keep me super, super full. Also, I knew if I couldn't settle days and I was going to be up for a good few hours straight, drinks, hot drinks. So I'd have like decaf tea, keep me busy. But also, I had to try and really outthink myself. So just took out anything that was difficult. So had things in the freezer that were just easy. That's how I become so obsessed with jacket potato and baked beans, because the next day when I was so knackered, taking the thinking out of it was key. So really easy wins. And also make your life easier if you can, like get the food shop delivered, get the ready chopped lettuce, get those things, because when you are that sleep deprived, what I found was anything could tip me over the edge. But also, if I had to put too much thought into it, I wouldn't do it. So keep it simple, keep it easy, plan for it, because you know it's coming. Because I think we try and be too perfect and we think, oh, I'll be fine, I don't need to eat. Trust me, to keep awake, you need that boost of energy, but also know that you are liable. Because I could eat 40 sins in that nighttime period. So knowing I had to have things that I could grab that were tasty, bananas were my go-to, really, really were. Mm. But know it will end. Trust me, I've just come out the other side. I have. I now have sleep in my life, which is an amazing feeling. I'd forgotten what it was like. I slept a whole 8 hours last night, uninterrupted.
She looks great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had my facelift now. That's what
I can't tell the difference. You always look glamorous.
But that's what I. But this is my coping mechanism. I have to cover myself full of makeup and do my hair because I used to feel so exhausted that I would look like I'd been dug up otherwise, Claire.
That's why we do podcasts.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, there you go, Steffi. Become a podcaster.
Yeah, there you go.
Amy, this is one I want to kind of ask you, really, Anna, as a consultant, really. So Amy talks about, how do you cope with people saying hurtful or negative things about Slimming World? I really love the plan. I've lost 3.5 stone. And actually, I've made a lot of friends, and I look forward to helping my Slimming World lady each week. I understand it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I see people online saying it's a cult and some really awful things. And then one of my friends, who has lost a lot of weight themselves, which is amazing, posted a huge post with lots of negative things about Slimming World. I was really upset by the insensitive comments. It actually made me cry. I was wondering if there was any advice you two had regarding this. I don't understand why people can't just be happy and celebrate doing well, whatever the plan. Love to you both, and thank you for your lovely podcasts. Yeah, I could see how there's a lot mixed up, isn't it? In people's, sometimes it's not hate at the company, it's like a mirror back at themselves, or it didn't work for me, therefore it doesn't work for anybody. Yeah. What do you say as a consultant?
I've learnt to ignore it, because it used to really upset me.
Because I suppose you follow the plan and it's your job.
Yeah, but it's, and this sounds so cheesy, but to me it's more than a job in the way, being a consultant was something that I just can't ever imagine not doing. It's like something I just feel like I love doing so much, but I used to get so hurt and so upset. So don't read any of the social media stuff, because actually, what is it? It's probably, in my experience, somebody who doesn't have that much knowledge has maybe tried it on their own, not had the greatest experience, and is maybe a little bit sad and upset and vocalizing. And I also just think, if you're going to be in that, if someone is in that negative mindset, there is nothing I can say that's going to turn their head around. I know for me, it works. I know for the thousands of members that I've helped, it works. And I just sit in a content place that I know that actually it's not what any of them say it is. And most of it is utter drivel. God, I sounded like my mum then. So just, I would just say, ignore it, sweetheart. But also, if it's a really close friend, I would address with the fact that actually what you said really hurt me. Perhaps, but you know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's just remembering, like, that's, it's just words. You know, you're doing brilliantly.
Yeah, and as you say, it's about, you know, being happy and everyone finding their right plan, their own plan.
Yeah, like, I would never, I've had members who have got a certain point with the Slimming World journey, they've gone on and lost some more weight with something else, and all I ever do is celebrate the fact that they've lost weight, because losing weight is the hardest thing I've ever done. And you know what, if you found a way that works for you, I'm going to celebrate you. I'm not going to condemn the fact that you've done it in a different way, but not everyone has that same ability, do they? So no.
Tough
really hard.
Kirsty and Clarabella got in contact with us about motivation. I mean, it feels like motivation is always here in listeners' questions, somehow, somewhere. So if you are someone that's struggling with losing your mojo, then please be assured that this is a regular appearance in these question episodes. Kirsty's got here, I've reached a point, my motivation has dipped. I'm just so less unhappy about how I look and my health is so much better. However, I don't feel done. I want to lose more, but I've not made progress for months now. And it's the longest I've not been food optimizing consistently. So she's kind of like got so far, oh, I feel all right now, and then lost kind of the mojo to get the journey done. Clarabella is just kind of going around in circles. Why can't I get back into the plan? I want to be on plan so much, but I've not really been on plan for the last 15 months. I've been paying for all that time too. And no matter how much my consultant supports me, how inspiring the members are, a slight little thing knocks me off track. It doesn't actually help that when I started Slimming World in 2018, I lost 7 stone, kept about 2 off. I just can't get my head back into the mindset that when I was in, when I lost all the weight. Mm. I mean, we've got a comment here from Emma, that we wanted to read. I think if we break down Kirsty and Clarabella, both of them aren't really seeing what they've done so far, really, in those. They're not, I don't know, like Clarabella's obviously lost a lot of weight, but isn't she's kind of berating herself a bit.
What strikes me is almost feeling like bad that they've not got that focus that they once had. What I've learned in my multiple, I don't know what's the word for more than multiple journeys, is that the thing that held me back was not forgiving myself for the fact that I was back trying to lose weight again. And also trying to get back to where I once was, or, you know, trying to undo my bad work. And it's the moment you free your mind and you say, do you know what? I've put on some weight. It's not what I wanted to happen, but I'm here. I've now got a choice to move forward and do this, but it may be in a different way to when I first did it. Do you remember the first time you lost weight with Slimming World? I bet it was a totally different approach you took. Well, not, I mean, obviously follow the plan, but mentally, to the last journey you had. Yeah. Because we change as people, our mindset, our outlook changes, and it's not trying to get back the focus you used to have, it's finding a new focus. Mm-hmm. That might set you free a little bit. But I think what Emma says is bang on.
Well, the one thing I would say, like with Kirsty, so Kirsty kind of had lost a significant amount of weight and then kind of felt like, oh, I'm kind of all right.
Yes,
you know, I don't
I've
really have to give it a go. That's exactly where I was. You know, I kind of maintained for so long.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to say, actually, am I all right here for a bit?
And I think that's acknowledging that fact, that very fact. So many of us come into group, set a target, think if we don't make that target, somehow we've not failed. Actually, I was talking to a member last week and she said, how do you know when you're at target? And I go, I think you just know. I think you go, I'm cooked. I don't have the fight, or I don't want to fight anymore for this last bit. I feel pretty good where I'm at. Like, I think, you know, remember you were like, why didn't I get fireworks and a tap dancer and a saxophonist?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But actually, what you've done is create this new you quite slowly, and it had evolved that actually you didn't realise you were there. So maybe it's saying, and I said to a lady the other day, maybe it's about taking a little seat and saying, actually, I'm cooked for a little bit. Let's see how it feels to be here and see if I want to continue when I've laid here for a little while. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think as slimmers we give ourselves time to enjoy it on the journey. We're waiting for this big event and then we can enjoy where we're at.
Yeah. The other thing I found really helpful, which we are going to bring into this toolkit episode, is kind of really moving away from the numbers on the scales and focus on the habits. And it just gave me something else to focus on. And actually, if you focus on the habits, then the numbers on the scales change anyway.
Yeah.
So it might just be refocusing, repointing your arrow of attention in a different direction. Yeah, but see, Emma dropped a comment to us, and I thought, do you know what? This seems kind of maybe helpful for Kirsty and Clarabella, because I think it was just the fact that of the difference she made within a month.
It's massive.
So last month I was ready to chuck in the towel. I had enough. I couldn't get back into it. My weight was up and down, up and down. I was juggling work and family as well as trying to lose weight, and staying on plan was getting me down. told my consultant how I was feeling, and she was fantastic. She gave me the tools to refocus. I went home feeling a bit more positive. If I stopped now, I would only feel worse and put more on. It's all going off here, isn't it?
I know.
4 weeks later, I have joined the local leisure centre, doing 4 classes a week and loving it. I have decided to break the cycle and concentrate on my well-being instead of just the scales. I've also lost a few pounds, but in 2 weeks I have lost 6 inches.
Wow.
This has given me a massive boost and I'm feeling so much better in myself. I have just over 1.5 stone to lose. Listening to your podcasts has helped me so much between groups, and hearing Claire got to Target gave me the motivation that I will get there. I listen when I'm driving, during work, keeps me on track and gives me a giggle. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like she gave herself a break,
yeah,
had a chat with someone who knew what it was about, a consultant,
yeah,
and then focused on exercise, you know, body magic, and just breaking the cycle and repointing the focus to well-being, not necessarily numbers on a scale.
And it's the numbers that will be doing it to these ladies.
Yeah.
It's the fact that the scales aren't where they want them to be. But actually, if you add up the habits and you concentrate on those, they give you a much better outcome than focusing on the numbers. They really do.
On a similar subject, Kaz put here, the podcasts are really thought-provoking and making me look at slimming world with a different outlook. However, the challenge I have is I'm a serial joiner, been on and off the plan for about 15 years. And probably shouldn't say this, but I'm the biggest I've ever been. I really believe in the concept. I just can't find my why. Oh, any tips?
Totally get that. Wow. Any tips? I think you're in the right place that you now know you can't find your why. But to find the why takes a lot of soul searching, doesn't it? And to find your current reason. So what my tip would be, I don't know, Claire, if you've got any other kind of thing, would be looking at something like a for and against list. I don't know if you are a group member, but to look at all the reasons and the benefits and then going even deeper, because I think on the surface we can go, oh, I want to do it for health, but actually, what does health mean to you? Does health mean that you don't want to have a heart attack? Does health mean, like for me, I could have my spinal surgery? Does health mean that you might be able to have IVF? Whatever it is that health means to you, concentrating on that, because I think sometimes we're a bit scared to delve into our why, aren't we? Or we go, I should, you know, society tells me I should. But I don't know about you, that doesn't motivate me. What motivates me is actually being able to open my wardrobe and know that I can put anything on in there and I feel good in it. I don't have to get changed 47 times and wear 4 pairs of Spanx anymore. So it's spending some time to unravel, peel back that onion. And it may be that you got to get 10 layers deep before you spot it. It may be a work in progress, but it also may be that you find little whys rather than this big, massive reason, because it changes, doesn't it? Your why's changed across since we first met, hasn't it? Massively.
I still have my for and against list on my wall in my office, yeah, and I look at it every so often. I mean, the biggest thing in the against was being honest with myself, and one of the things I put was sometimes it's just like hard work,
yeah, just
doing all this planning and doing the recipes and going to group, like it's all so time consuming.
I just want to be lay on the hammock eating
but
cake.
We come back to that choose your heart.
Yes.
And you know, actually it's hard being overweight, but it's hard also planning, so which one do you want to be, you know what I mean? Like, and I just thought, oh, I kind of got sick of being overweight and the way it made me feel, so this is nothing really in comparison, but it is hard to stay on it.
The hardest thing is to stay on it, but that's when we overthink it. I some days just have to go by the hour, just go by the meal, rather than thinking about a week next Tuesday and weigh in.
Yeah, see, like Sarah here talks about how she's reached Target. She's lost over 5 stone within a year within lockdown. Yay me!
Woo.
Happy with the look, size, how I feel. But my question is, will I ever view myself as the slimmer me? I just don't see it. I work with a few skinny minis and have been going back into the office recently. They have celebrated my success and said, wow, you're tiny. You weigh less than me now. It might have been that I have lived in PJs and not really got dressed up in a while, but I just don't see it. They're still so much smaller than me in my eyes. Does this get any easier, or is it the price I pay as having been, in her words, a chunky monkey before?
I think we've talked about this very often, the head takes a while to catch up. And you might have one of those moments, I remember it, where I picked up my old size of jeans. Well, I went into the changing room with size 20, just picked it up, not even thinking. And I came out with a size 12. And I remember yelping so loud. That was the point I realised, oh my gosh, my head hasn't caught up with my body. I was picking a size 20 and I was a size 12. But that was probably about 6-8 months after I'd got to that first Target. So I don't know about you, did you have a moment where you were like, actually, I'm slim now? Like, where you hadn't realised?
I think this summer has been quite telling. Now we're a bit more out. I mean, last year most of us just sat in the garden, weren't we, really? But this year has felt a bit more telling. I went for a walk yesterday, in quite similar to what I'm wearing now. I mean, these shorts are
which
pretty
short. Which are microscopic shorts.
She's and I went for pants. A walk for over 2.5 hours. It was hot. My ankles weren't swelling. I didn't have chafage. Oh. And I had energy. And I said to Matt, wow, we've been walking for like 2 hours and I feel like I could continue.
Wow.
And I remember even when I'd lost like about 2.5... No, I got just before I got my 3-stone award and won Woman of the Year with you, I went to Italy and, oh my God, just wearing like the Spanx that go down to your knees, I under the just... maxi dress, sweating profusely, my ankles swelling because they were full of water because they just retained fluid. And I just remember how exhausting it was. And at that point, I'd lost 3 stone. Gosh. And here I am now having lost an extra 2 stone and the difference that's made. So actually, sometimes, you know, you look at the lady, Kirsty, who's kind of lost a bit and still more to go, it's kind of keeping an open mind that I'm glad that I continued this journey to get to this point.
Yeah.
Because summer was always a bit of a season of dread for me, when you're getting your arms out. And, and we did like a selfie yesterday and I thought, I've got definition in my shoulders.
Oh,
I've never had shoulder definition.
I love a bit of shoulder definition.
So it's being open-minded that you can celebrate those things, I think.
Yeah.
And you're right, like Sarah, it's not like kind of a boom, everything. It, over the time, you kind of have these, oh, I can do this now.
And she's also trained her brain to believe she is a certain way and have a view of herself. And you're untraining your brain.
Yeah.
And there's such a big thing, and I think it's more predominant in women. We compare ourselves against other women in a way that is so damaging to us. Like, strip it back. Does it matter that the ladies in your office might look slimmer than you? What's the reasoning behind that, that feels so hard or you don't like it? Because is it that you feel less of a person or whatever because of it? It's exploring why that is important to you, because actually you've just trained yourself that, like you say, you refer to yourself as a chunky monkey. Actually, swapping that around and saying, actually, do you know what? I achieved this while I was that way, and almost bringing a more positive spin to where you were when you were overweight. Because I think what we do is we tell ourselves how bad we were when we were bigger, rather than saying, actually, I achieved X, Y, and Z at that weight. I was still a fabulous person. You know how you thanked your former self? It's doing that, isn't it?
Yeah. See, M sent a message saying, you know, she's never been a confident person, but has really felt her journey has changed her. And she's not at the end of the journey and not sure she ever will be. But I know now that hating how I used to be, look and eat won't change it. Mm. Looking back and realising that being the way I was got me through some difficult times, and I will always be thankful for my health and the fact that I can do something about it. Not everyone is so lucky or blessed.
So true.
Yeah. So then Katie here has put the question about, how do you get yourself out of the mindset of no longer actively trying to lose weight? I've been dieting in one way or another since I was 12. I'm now nearly 36. I hit Target in May and I feel great. And this seems to be where my body feels comfy and I feel good. But I've spent so long trying to lose weight in various ways. I don't know how to embrace this new kind of lifestyle. I think a part of me is afraid I'll put weight back on again if I don't allow myself to relax too much. And like we say, this is going to be a detailed subject of this episode we're planning in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
I think you should answer this one because you're our newest Target member on the block. She's looking at me like, I don't know I can.
I don't know if I have the answers. I think... I mean, I'm experiencing my third bump I suppose, since
only
I reached
three.
Target.
God, you've done well to only have three.
And each time I've gone out of my Target range, I've managed to go get back in, so I haven't had to pay.
Bless you. Your grace week, you mean.
You have a grace week,
you
yeah.
Do, yeah.
And initially, the first time it happened, I was absolutely frozen with fear. I was oh my God, you know, this. You knew this was going to happen. You know, you're never going to be Target. Who do you think you are, trying to kid yourself? You shouldn't have told everyone that you were Target, because now you're just going to have to admit that you failed. That's generally what I went through. And then anyway, I knew what I needed to do, and I got back on it, and the next week I weighed in and I was back in my Target range. And then it happened again, but it was after a holiday, and I thought, well, I know what to do, and I knew I expected it, and now I'm kind of in another bit of a blip, but I kind of know what I need to do to get back in it. And and so I suppose that it's not trying to kind of say, now you're at Target, now you have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Because we were trying to be perfect and continuously lose weight without ever having a gain when we were doing the journey. But just because you're at Target doesn't mean you have to be perfect and always stay within your Target range. It's a range for a reason.
Yeah.
And actually, you go out and you kind of keep following some kind of plan and use the tools that you've built in order to kind of learn and balance a lifestyle, which does go up and down. Nothing is a straight line in life.
No. And I think it's recognising where you are likely to have a wobble so that you can stay armed for that. Like, just remember, just because you got to Target doesn't mean that you're fixed, is what I like to tell people. Like, you have got yourself to this point, and it's almost the new journey starts. So it's the Slim for Life book that I would always recommend, that 12-week journal that's going to help you to change your mindset and also allow you to learn where potentially am I liable to maybe lose a bit of control with this, or where do I need to watch out, where do I need to carry on practicing, but also know that it needs to be a gradual thing that happens. Like, don't expect your head to flip suddenly and go, oh, I don't need to lose weight anymore, because you've programmed yourself since you were 12. Actually, give yourself some time, but also ask for the help and support. If you're a group member, an online member, get that help and support to say, actually, do you know what? I'm struggling with my mindset at the moment. What help and support is out there for me? Because it's a scary place, isn't it? Especially a scary place, I think. Hitting Target, coming out of what we've been in, is almost harder than hitting Target 4 years ago, because you've been closeted at home and now you're let out. Hello, you're at Target and now everything's open. Do you know what I mean? So cut yourself some slack. Also remember, it's something that you're going to evolve into. The longer you do it, the more skilled you are at it.
Have conversations with Target members in your group.
Yes.
That for me, I mean, there's a row of really cool older ladies that sit in front of me in my group.
Aww.
And they're all at Target, and they all constantly seem to be going on bloody holiday.
Oh, see, that's the key.
And going
it?
Out, they're always going for afternoon teas here, there. And I'm like, how do you do it?
The difference is, it's what they do consistently.
Yes.
And I think it's remembering that. It's remembering, if I consistently food optimise and I follow the route that I've picked, I will keep my weight loss off. But it's if I go, oh, hi, I'm cooked now. Welcome to the fast food chain. Welcome to the wine. It's remembering nothing really changes. You just add some more savory sins and healthy extras in.
True. Okay, let's talk about food, okay?
Oh, my favourite thing.
We've got some quick fire questions,
oh.
Okay? Deb wants to ask about crisps.
Oh, my. This would
downfall,
be my subject.
Yeah, is addiction to crisps.
Oh.
How can she replace them or stop eating them?
So, cucumbers.
Crisps, cucumbers.
Yeah, no, I found, so for me, I had to go cold turkey with crisps, because one multi-pack packet of crisps, my hubby says is 3 crisps and 90% air, which I tend to agree with him. I wanted more. The salt, the fat, the taste, the experience, the smell led me to wanting more. So a couple of things I did. Cut them out for 6 weeks. Then when I reintroduced them, I only allowed myself them when I wasn't hungry, because if I ate them when I was hungry, I'd want more. But if I had them as something planned in, like as part of a picky plate at night, I enjoyed them more and didn't need another 6 packets. Also recognizing that you might not just be craving the crisps, it may be the salt that's in the crisps, and it may be the situation that you have the crisps in. So for example, like a lot of people say this with alcohol, it signifies something. So it signifies relaxing. It signifies the end of something. So noticing when you're eating the crisps, and also maybe trying to, when I now have crisps, I have them as part of something else, like a picky plate. So I will have the cucumbers, the crisps, but then I'll have some other free food around it so that I'm satisfied more by them.
A little swap that I did was sliced apple.
Nice.
With a spoonful of jam or a spoonful of peanut butter.
Oh, peanut butter. Oh, like
and you have to, like, obviously not do the heaped.
Yeah, like, there does need to be some measuring.
There are some sins in that. But yeah. I just found, like, that kind of filled me up for a bit longer. But you're right about, like, the snacks thing. Like, sometimes I'd stop myself and say, am I eating this because I'm actually hungry?
Yeah.
Or I'm bored? And when I was hungry, I was like, actually, what I need here is another meal.
Free food. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do it to Daisy. I'm like, Daisy, do you want an apple? She's like, no. I said, well, you're not having crisps then. Because you're doing that because you want the crisps. You want the taste, don't you? So.
Okay. Christine says about lunch ideas. Help, I've lost my way. How do I stay motivated? I always lose it at lunchtime. Any ideas that you can share?
We just did, your very good timing, in my group on the last week, all about trying to help some ladies with lunch. The tips that my members gave were cooking extra so that you could have leftovers. I know you do
we cook four portions in the evening.
So you know that you can have it. If you don't have the ability to warm up, I will go back to those flasks that you can get, food flask, keep it warm for up to 12 hours. They are absolutely brilliant. My go-to is the, I like to have the Iceland range in the freezer, the lunch pots, 8 minutes in the microwave, I know I'm sold. Or maybe play, excuse me, with your breakfast. So I free up my healthy bee for my breakfast on busy days. So I have fruit and yogurt for breakfast. And then I'll have something like a pitta, a really big filling sandwich with a packet of fruit, banana, yogurt, so that I know I've got something that's easy. But I also don't allow myself near a meal deal, because there are some fabulous high street stores that will lure me in with a 42 sin sandwich, a 13 sin packet of crisps and a 9 sin bar of chocolate, you know. So it's knowing, actually, is it a little bit more time at night? Is it being a bit more savvy with your cooking? Is it maybe just taking the stress out and saying, I'm going to batch cook 8 jacket potatoes on a Sunday and have 5 different fillings for the week?
Nice. See, like the idea of the picky plates.
Yes,
I really like that, because I realised I am a volume eater.
I am.
I'm not going to go to a Michelin star restaurant and eat like 1 pea and 2 leaves
and
on a plate
afterwards.
I know. You'd have to be going for the takeaway afterwards.
I've often done that. You know, after a posh restaurant, I've gone, come on, babe, let's go and get something
some
else.
Food.
Yeah.
So, but the picky plate is great because, you know, you take a couple of slices, like for me, the fake ham, a few grapes, some cube cheese from a healthy extra, you know, maybe a little bit of popcorn.
I like to sin a few olives. Yeah, all those salt.
Yes.
1.5 sins for 8 in brine.
Just the problem is when you take it for lunch and you're leaving the house, it looks like you're going backpacking.
Yeah, I used to take a hold all in to work.
Yeah, exactly. When I go to mine now, people are like, you're moving in.
Yeah, clearly. This is just my food.
That's just my laptop and my food.
Yeah, exactly.
So I hope that helps, Christine. Joanna talks about barbecues. I'm afraid I tend to panic. I get a bit scared at barbecues. I'm such an all or nothing person. I'll be tempted to eat everything in sight. Even as a Target member, I can fall into eating only safe foods. But in reality, I know I'm losing out. There's such a variety of foods that I can eat following Slimming World. How do I get past this scary feeling? Keeps me restricted and I know I lose out. I've got to say, actually, the latest magazine, which is out,
great stuff in it,
with Samantha on the front, it's got page 46.
Oh my gosh, loads. Look how well you know that magazine.
Well, no, because I saved some. There were some episodes which were like, that I know I can veganize, marinated veg and halloumi skewers with bulgur salad. There's Asian style corn with char grilled veg, smashed cucumbers,
love a smashed cucumber.
And sticky rice. I was like, oh, and they actually look really great. And
so
some of
beautiful.
Them have sins, but like actually a lot of them are sin free.
Yeah, and they're savvy sins. So the way I look at a barbecue is I fill up on my safety, and then if I fancy a little bit of something that's slightly more decadent, I'll have it. But it's knowing, actually, if I am full, I won't go crazy. But if I go and hit the burgers that, you know, are not food optimized, I could be giving myself 6, 8, 10 sins. Same with the sausage. But actually, if I filled up on the beautiful rice salad, the chicken, I don't know, the salmon, whatever it is, and then I said, yeah, have a sausage, have that, you can work it in, rather than going hell for leather and saying, I need a mountain and it's going to cost me 486 sins. So fill up on the free foods, get your little bit of satisfaction from the slightly higher ones. There's also some great tips on Lifeline Online all about barbecues. We've got the little book of barbecues as well. So there's loads of resources for you.
also, like, just, yeah, I know what you're saying. You're a target member, so think of how much learning you've done to get to this point. You know what your safe foods are, but maybe a new part of your journey is learning to retrain the all or nothing.
Yeah, and that's
it takes time.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I've had to retrain. Like, actually, a taste is enough, or a small helping is enough, rather than thinking I've got to eat 76 gallons of coleslaw.
And what do we say? Enjoy your sins. Enjoy your food.
Exactly.
It's there to be enjoyed. Bread. Okay. Alison says, I love listening to the podcast. It inspires me to stay on plan. Apart from wine, my biggest problem is bread. Why is bread so high in sins? Is there anything I can have as a bread replacement? Alison from Wiltshire. And I thought this was an interesting one, because I think some of us kind of think, well, you know, if you're hungry, then you have like maybe an extra slice of toast is better than having a small chocolate treat or a bag of crisps.
Yes.
But it's still sins, and often the sins can be almost equate to the small chocolate treat anyway. So
sometimes more.
What's the thinking behind that? And we reached out for some help.
We did. We went to our public health manager, didn't we, to just make sure that we got the right answer.
Not our personal public health manager.
It sounds like that, doesn't
Slimming
it?
World.
Lovely Carolyn.
Carolyn Pallister, who's on the calorie episode.
She's brilliant. Yeah. So she said, basically, when looking at how free foods fit into food optimising, we have to take into account the type of food it is, the full nutritional information and its ingredients. So energy density and society are two primary factors affecting whether or not a food can be classed as a free food. The number of calories per gram and how much a food fills us up and keeps us going for longer, respectively. Although bread can fill us up, its energy density is too high for it to be a free food, and bread, particularly white bread, doesn't keep us full for as long as other free foods. How interesting. It is also a food that is very easy to overconsume. Many people could happily eat around 100 grams of bread, a couple of rounds of toast as a snack, and still be able to eat their main meal. Whereas 100 grams dried weight of pasta provides a large meal that can help keep hunger at bay until the next meal. Importantly, it is also often a carrier for other energy dense foods such as butter, mayonnaise, jams, etc. If we were able to consume bread freely without limit, it would be likely to have a negative effect on your weight loss, which we absolutely don't want, and we're sure you don't want either. However, wholemeal bread, because of its high fibre content, does come under our healthy extra sections, which includes the foods that help to ensure you get a healthy, balanced diet. So this means you can enjoy your bread and still have your whole sin allowance to use on top. Wow.
So, number one, I mean, white bread, just not really worth it.
I love Claire when she summarises it. Basically,
wholemeal
don't bother
is the way forward. But it is interesting how many of us would eat a piece of toast dry, like, not
only
two pieces
really
of toast
Ill.
Dry. Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like the gateway to put butter to jam. Maybe Marmite, but they don't really put Marmite on dry toast. It just wouldn't spread.
Oh, my mum used to put quark on her toast. I'd be like, what are you doing to me? I think it is that recognising it's the vessel to a downward spiral.
Oh, it's easy to consume. Yeah. I see what she's saying there.
I get that, really. And it's very interesting to think about when you look at the energy it contains for how long it will keep you full, the free foods are your best option. So I hope that answers your question. Just a quick
replacement.
I'm a massive fan of a corn cake. I don't know if you know about a corn cake. So it's like a rice cake, but better. They're normally about one sin each. So I might use them as a snack. And for me, bread triggers me to have the toppings. The corn cakes don't.
Who measures jam? I mean, I do. But we've lost our measuring spoons at the moment.
I don't
know what Matt's done with them. But like, it's very difficult to really measure a true spoonful of butter.
Yeah.
Or who honestly measures 10 grams of butter?
So
you are a minority.
If I'm really, really on it, I'll weigh the toast, then weigh the toast with the butter on.
God.
But that's when I'm really focused. But you know what I've had to do to safeguard me? You can buy miniature jams, miniature like chocolate spreads, all of those. I have those, and then I know the sins.
That's
because
true.
If I'm left with a jar, it's like a bad boyfriend.
And a husband.
Yeah, no.
And a child that doesn't sleep.
I'm not bringing my husband.
Dude, you don't need to bring any more stress in your life.
Exactly.
Well, I hope that helps, Alison. And a lot of us as well. That was a really interesting one to kind of go and ask.
And I could have never put it as eloquently. So I'm so glad we asked Carolyn.
Look, we want to finish with a message from Mary, okay? So let me read Mary's message in full, okay? Because I think it's a worthwhile story for all of us to take stock, particularly if you are someone who's like, oh, I'm just a bit tired of all this. Yeah. I've lost my way. What is the point? This is really hard work. We can all learn a thing or two about Mary. And thank you, Mary, for sharing this, because it's quite a personal message. I was a latecomer to the podcast. Really glad I found you, and I'm binging the back catalogue. I've been doing Cinema World on and off for about 10 years now, and I've half-heartedly followed the plan in that time. I've joined, and then I've rejoined, and then I've put a bit of extra weight. I usually found that I'd lose a stone and then hit a wall, and then I'd play around with the same 2 pounds going off and on, and then coming back week on and week after week. What I didn't admit to myself is that my relationships with my friends were suffering, and I was finding excuses not to see them as I was embarrassed about my weight. I have a few really special people in my life who I've known since I was at school. They are irreplaceable, and with one in particular, I would always promise that we would meet for a drink and catch up, which of course never happened, as I would put him off or cancel at the last minute due to my shame. I tell you this because 2 years ago, that irreplaceable person suddenly passed away. I was completely blindsided by this, and I had the stuffing knocked out of me. I realised that I hadn't physically seen this person in over 5 years because of the shame I had about my weight. There and then, I knew it had to stop. This was my light bulb moment. By the time his funeral came, around a month later, I had lost a stone. Lockdown came and I did put on a few pounds, but I said to my husband that I wasn't prepared to undo the progress I'd made so far. And I remembered why I had properly committed to the plan, finally, back when my friend died. I got back on plan just for one day. And then that day turned into 2 days, and then it turned into a week, and before I knew it, I had months on plan. I've been trying out new recipes, I've been enjoying cooking again. Before, I'd always thought of this as a diet, but this time I realised I had to dig deeper and understand why I ate like this. What were my triggers, and when would I be likely to deviate from the plan? With the help of my lovely consultant, I am now 4 stone lighter and I have 1 stone, 7 pounds left to target. My size 22 tops, which were tight on me, have been thrown away, and only one pair of jeans is left as testament to what I used to be. Now I'm in size 12 or 14. I've lost 40 inches from all over my body. By the way, counting inches has been fabulous. Everyone should do it. I never cancel plans with my friends now, as I know it can all end in the blink of an eye, and I'm finally enjoying life again and don't feel I have to be a spectator from the sidelines. I've been crowned in my group as Woman of the Year, and I'm also considering becoming a consultant myself. Slimming World has given me my life back, and I can run around with my little girl again too, which is a fabulous feeling. Last week, I went to the cemetery in my size 12 outfit with 2 glasses and a small bottle of wine. I sat down at the foot of my friend's grave and said, "Now, how about that drink?" I will never let my weight get in my way again. Thank you, Slimming World, and keep up the great work on the podcast. You are my group away from group.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so emotional, isn't it?
Wow. What an amazing lady.
I know.
Wow. And thank you for sharing that so honestly with us, because, Mary, I think what you won't know is that you will have an impact on people that are listening here and maybe make people think twice. You are incredible. Yeah. And to have turned yourself around, I think your friend would be so proud of you and will be, you know, having a drink, watching you in your size 12 jeans. It's spectacular. Absolutely amazing.
Oh,
well, what a way to end.
Whew. Well, we went from nearly falling off a hammock to having tears in our eyes.
And look, a white butterfly's just appeared.
There's two.
Two.
One for you, one for me.
Yeah.
Right.
God.
Right. Everyone, clear the tears away.
Clear the tears away.
Don't move. Next week, Next week. Oh, it is the target member episode next week. Well, after all that, I've been saying it's in a few weeks. Next week, what's in your target member toolkit so far? We have 15 great habits to see. It's a little bit of a check-in to see where you're at the moment. And a brilliant question from Laura, one of our listeners, who asked us, you know, what should be in her toolkit to make sure she maintains her weight loss moving forwards. Yeah. It's really helpful. It's an article I found on Lifeline Online, and brilliant. It's an article that I've just found as one of the best sources of inspiration, so we wanted to share it. Anyway, however you are enjoying the lovely summer that has finally turned up, we will now slowly
I'm in so much
stand up as the music rises.
We can't stand up together. Who's going first?
I mean, I think it's safer if you go first.
But what do I do?
The music's rolling, Anna. People have got... Shoot. It's really hard to say that without swearing.
You okay?
Are you standing? Are you okay? I'm going to stand up.
Okay.
Oh my goodness me. Okay, standing. It's okay. We have both exited the hammock safely. Can't afford the music, remember? Have a great week. Enjoy your food. Enjoy the sunshine. Bye.